I'm Stephen Bradshaw, and this is Snowball Psychology. Your snowball is your true life project. It starts with one single snowflake of intention that compounds into a snowball of vitality, authenticity, and yes, real-world success. I'm a psychotherapist, executive coach, and founder of the Beyond Psychology Center, which offers somatic therapy in California and coaching worldwide. This podcast is for people living on their growth edge. It's about how to kickstart your own snowball and keep it rolling. If you're inspired by this conversation, you can support us on Patreon, where you can join SoulPod, a live weekly group I host where for the cost of a gym membership, you can get support for your own snowball. And don't forget to subscribe, review, and comment. Welcome. Let's roll. Well, here I am. It is March 30th, 2024. I'm 41 years old. I've only been this age once, as have you, as has the universe. The movie Dune 2 is currently playing. Taylor Swift has just completed the Eras Tour. And ChatGPT is out of the box and living its best life in the wild. And this is the first snowflake of my own project, Snowball Psychology. Ultimately, what I'm interested in is creating a snowball of good feeling, love, and human potential that compounds over time as we keep approaching life in the right way. Over time, our personal snowball crystallizes into real-world structures that spread outward into the community. The alternative to snowballing is rat racing, or operating from a place of fear and scarcity. I've called it the Snowball Psychology Project because I was moved by a biography of Warren Buffett by Alice Schroeder that spoke about how Warren's decisions compounded over time to put him in a better and better position. And so his decisions just became easier and easier as he progressed. And that allowed him to have a bed in his office, to at one point only accept clients to give him money or take back money on one day of the year, and to show Bill Gates that his calendar was completely clear for the week ahead. So Warren made some decisions that made his life a lot easier. That book was largely interested in material wealth, but I think the same is true of all wealth, including inner wealth. That if we start from the right foundation, and from the way I work, that's a somatic foundation of feeling and being in touch with oneself, and then we build outward in the right way, and we build in alignment with our center, and we're in tune with our biology and the wider system, then what we build sticks and grows and is strong and is anti-fragile. And we get healthier, and things get easier and easier, and our life is enjoyable on the inside and looks good on the outside. So how do we do that? For today's episode, I want to just talk about one idea, evolutionary staging. Life needs to follow a growth path where it survives at every stage. If it doesn't, then evolution is cut off. And 99% of species no longer exists. So this is a very real constraint and one which is becoming very easy to imagine for humans. Evolution selects everything that lives on. And so my starting point in my own thinking is this idea of staging or what comes next, because I believe that ideas that align with evolution are more likely to succeed. As Carl Jung said, if you think along the lines of nature, then you think properly. So the idea I want to most organize myself around is evolutionary thinking, because I think that is how the world is essentially structured and works fundamentally. Ideas are carried forward in biological vessels within the context of a biological system. If AI survives but nature doesn't, would we care? Or would we try to sabotage that outcome with populism or nuclear war? So biology is essential to everything that we do. If we destroy our nest, we will not visit space. We will not create the future that we want to see. Whatever you want to do in the world, it has to unfold sequentially to work. You might have grand ideas, but you'll only get there if there's a pathway where each stage works in order to get there. You can't cross a river that's 5 feet on average if you're 6 feet, but the river sometimes drops to 8 feet. The average doesn't matter. It's every step that matters. It has to be survivable. To that end, the snowball attitude is to never avoid a step and to never skip over a step. So we honor the next step and we allow our project to snowball in the right way where we honor each step. And we have to humble ourselves to do that. This podcast will probably not get that many views up front, but this is the next step for me. As Lao Tzu put it in the Tao Te Ching, when the master runs into a difficulty, she stops and gives herself to it. She does not cling to her own comfort. Thus, problems are no problem for her. That encapsulates the attitude of this podcast, and I think that it is a fundamental way of approaching things where you turn into difficulty that makes things easier and easier over time. As you build a habit of doing that, you can let go of a lot of anxiety because you know that you will do the right thing. So the important question is always, what comes next? Step by step, the journey unfolds. If we look too far ahead, we stumble, and it does not serve us anyways. Or if we try to go too fast, we trip and fall. And that is why I'm choosing the snowball, otherwise known as a snow roller, which is the naturally forming snowball that forms in nature and starts to roll down a hill. And the central metaphor represents a compounding process that gathers steam as it goes. So let's walk through this metaphor and consider the stages. Stage one, the first snowflake. This is where we go from zero to one, and the start is always a miracle. Already right at the start, we have something completely unique in a snowflake. Even though there are trillions of snowflakes, it is thought that they are unique because we have not found identical snowflakes. And the reason is that there are more potential designs for snowflakes by 10 to the 70 than there are atoms in the universe. So snowflakes have an incredible array of designs. Even though that's intuitively hard for us to grasp, it gives us a sense of how the universe works. And so I think there's something inherently important about us each being unique expressions of nature. We will only exist once in this form, regardless of your beliefs, and there's no other you. You carry your family heritage. You carry what's important to you. You're the only one. Only you walk your hero's journey. And so there's something very important in that, that you matter. Your story matters. Your uniqueness matters. And that is one of the most important principles of this project, that each one of us really matters. So at the start of a snowflake, there's a crystallization process that begins with a single point, and we might think of that as an intention. It's the first thing that begins to crystallize, and it arises naturally. We can't force an intention. It forms suddenly and we hear it. We create the space and it appears. An intention is like Hemingway's one true sentence, which he would use to start again if his writing had become stuck and he couldn't think of anything. He would try to think of one true sentence that he absolutely believed, and that would become a new starting point for him. It is important that the snowflake has purity at this point. Our first inclination, our first intention, our first gleaming idea about the future is very fragile and very pure. And later it will get complex and muddied, but at the start we want the vision to be very pure and sincere in order for the snowball to form in the right way. Your intention may sound naive or idealistic to others, and that's why we need to treasure it and be careful about how we share it and really hold it dearly to ourselves. An example of a snowflake intention could simply be, I would like to find work and relate to others in a way that feels good to me. It could be that simple. That is the starting point for a way of being. The second stage is snow starts to stick to the ground. Something becomes visible. This could represent the first behavioral step you take and the first thing that is visible to others as you work on your intention. The next stage, stage three, I call the thickening. As snow falls, it starts to build on the ground, and gradually potential energy is increasing, and a substrate or matrix is forming, matrix being the Latin for womb. A lining is forming that will birth something new. And we can regard snowfall that's accumulating and building up potential in our somatic work as resourcing or resourcing, connecting to source energy, building up our potential energy. Things like meditation, exercise, therapy, time in nature, they all increase potential energy in the nervous system, and they make it more likely that something good will happen. Stage four is takeoff. A catalyst sets a tiny ball of snow into motion. That catalyst could be some pressure from the outside world, perhaps the wind or snow falling from a branch, or just snow reaching a certain thickness that triggers the start of a new phase. Moving from the metaphor to our work, the catalyst in reality might be some financial pressure, a relationship, or adversity like losing a job or an accident, or it could just be the ripening of favorable conditions that enable something good to happen, that we want to take initiative from a good place. I think that doesn't happen enough. I think we should be always building off of strength if we can, and taking the next step, even when it's not necessarily required. So this takeoff and the catalyst is an inciting incident in terms of the hero's journey. It's the point in time we look back on as that's when the project was rolling. Stage five is downhilling. The snowball follows the downhill. As Bruce Lee suggests, we should be like water. So the snowball must find its way downslope using gravity and wind to its advantage. It has no choice. It must follow the natural course. Similarly, we want to tune into our system and use our embodiment practices so that we are most attuned to where the energy wants to flow through us, into which aspects of the world. When we do that, we unlock a cosmic tailwind or an updraft that supports us and doors are open before us. Other language is fixing energy leaks. As we start to align with our own energy and our behavior becomes more and more coherent, we have more energy. There's a magnetism to this approach, and other people are drawn to our project as they can feel this. Stage six is compounding. The snowball increasingly gains speed and mass, and this is the essential point. This is what we're building toward, that we want to unlock a compounding process. As it goes, the snowball becomes stickier and heavier and can attract resources more easily. And what helps it is that we started from a pure place. And so that brings in people's energy because they want to see this good thing happen in the world. So there's this magnetic quality to the snowball and a virtuous cycle of improvement unfolds. With compounding processes, one of the features is that energy increases and resistance decreases. Everything becomes easier. Every decision makes later decisions easier, and time is on our side. Of course, it's all just a metaphor, and I'm most interested in whatever works best to get the life that you truly want. To provide a little inspiration, I'm going to tell you briefly about my own journey and my own snowball. This project is certainly its own snowball that's just beginning, but it sits within a bigger context of my life snowball that's already been rolling. The first snowflake of my wider story was at age 27, so I'd already lived for a fair bit. At this age, I decided to quit my corporate career in investment banking and private equity on Wall Street and in LA. And while I was cheese grating my soul during these years, I always had a Hintergedanke in the back of my mind that I would one day find my true calling. I also wanted to escape and just explore and live wild for a while. But I knew that I wanted to live a life of purpose as well. I had no idea what that was, but that was already a snowflake. That was already something that I was aware of. I traveled widely. I rock climbed and I made art during this time off for about 8 years. And I tried to live off some of the different pursuits that I was involved in, like art and rock climbing, and I couldn't really work them. I wasn't properly aligned with my deepest self, and I wasn't getting feedback from my environment that this was going to work. At the same time, I started to receive somatic therapies, and I was involved in some groups. And while I didn't find myself or unlock a career, which was my hope, during that period, I would say that a lot of fresh snow fell, which enabled the next phase, which was to come. And that's very important. Just a snowfall can be very helpful, even if we don't know where we're headed or what we're doing next. I tried to return to my cubicle at, you know, another finance company, essentially, and found that I had grown into a different shape and I no longer fit into the square parameters of the cubicle and the office building and the role that was expected of me. And the catalyst that triggered my snowball phase happened that year of returning to work when my mother became ill and passed. And as I was at her bedside, I was aware of spreadsheets in the back of my mind. We were trying to sell the company I was working at, and I was holding the models in my mind. And I could feel the incongruity that this was not my life's work, and there was a lot of fear in the way I was operating. And the contrast of how short life is and how meaningless the work was just became too much. And so at this point, I told my father that I was to become a therapist, to which he responded, "Stevie, don't become a therapist," which he unwaveringly held. And I said, "Well, that's what I'm doing, sir." He wanted me to stay in finance and to make money and just play it very safe. And I could just tell that wasn't going to work for me. Since that, he's actually forgotten that conversation entirely. And so I bring this up because I want to highlight not to take advice too seriously, even mine. You are the one that has to live with the decisions you make in a way that others don't. So your inner compass is what we're really tuning into, and that's our guide for action. So I ended my tour of corporate duty as quickly as I could, and I took me to Esalen on the coast of Big Sur. Esalen is the birthplace of the humanistic movement, thinkers like Aldous Huxley, Fritz Perls, Abraham Maslow, Alan Watts have started movements in psychology and related fields, and Esalen holds a certain historical importance in the context of this field. And at Esalen, I met like-minded people and a lot of therapists, and I received a major snowfall of good feeling that affirmed my own decision to get into this field. And from there, things just unfolded naturally. I studied to become a somatic experiencing practitioner, Peter Levine's program, and I became a licensed psychotherapist and started the Beyond Psychology Center. And every year, my work feels more embodied, more connected, more alive, and it gets easier and easier. And I like the work I do more and more. My client relationships get richer, and I can't see how it will stop and how that would stop getting better and better. And it could change. It may just be where I am. But the longer you can stay in the updraft, the longer that can keep happening. And right now, I feel in the updraft. And I feel lucky and honored to have found this and privileged. And I think one thing that's important is I had to start with a pure intention. That first snowflake had to be true to me. And because of that, this work I'm doing has attracted the right kinds of people and has worked in the right kind of way. I think if I'd started with more ethical shadow in what I was doing, or doing something out of fear or conformity, I don't think it would have unfolded in the way it has. And by working wholeheartedly, I'm unlocking all kinds of energy in my system, and I can feel that my nervous system is more connected, has more energy, is just working well. And so that's a key to this whole concept, is to align with your nature so that you're not fighting your nature. And then you have more energy for what you're doing and things just work easier. I'd like to finish with a quick reflection on your first snowflake. And so if you want, you can close your eyes or look down and imagine we're high up in the atmosphere and they're very cold, crisp conditions that are ripe for something to form. There's a complete whiteout. And we're in this elevated space of potential. And I want you to hold space for something that's forming inside of you, or something that has formed already that may come through now. Even if you feel like you already know what your project is about or what your intention is, let's get something fresh. Maybe it will be what it's been before, or maybe it will be something new. So creating a space. It's all you have to do at this point. You take a few deeper breaths, tune into more of your nervous system. That brings in more potential, more of you here to birth this idea. And I don't want you to try to think of anything. I just want you to quiet yourself. Picturing this whiteout high up above the earth. And now out of this quiet, still place, slowly allow something to start to arise. Anything can come to you. We're just asking for some deep intention of something that you can orient around, something you know to be true, your one true sentence. And if it's feeling blocked, go simpler, go for more obvious. This does not have to be a fully formed manifesto. Could be the way you feel at certain times that you want to orient to, or some reference point. For me, rock climbing was that reference. I wanted to find a way of working that felt to me like rock climbing. It had that same flow state. We're continuing to make space for this intention to come in. Could be anything that's important to you. A starting point, the center of your mandala. And we want this new intention to point us in a direction that will include all the important parts of yourself. You can think of it as a spark, something that sparks your energy and health. And you can allow yourself to relax into this and to dream a little. Doesn't have to be realistic. We'll get practical later. Something that would be good for you if it could happen. If you find yourself thinking a lot, let that quieten down. Keep finding something simpler, simpler, simpler. We want to find something that's incontrovertible. if we stretch, then we might not be building on the right ground. So we want to find something that's absolutely true in the deepest parts of our being. Let's imagine the snowflake is formed, whether or not you have your intention yet. It's drifting down to the earth, making all kinds of patterns on its way down. And if you're on the ground looking up, it starts to make its way toward you as it's being gently guided to earth. You can imagine sticking out your tongue and something icy lands on your tongue. It's really fresh. This is your experience, your unique felt experience right now. And if you have an intention already, you could imagine that as the snowflake landing on the tongue. I want you to treasure this experience of just having this intention that you may feel good about, you may have some feeling about. To really treasure this. This is already an important experience, even before anything else has happened. And if something still hasn't come to you in terms of an intention, you might pause this recording and give yourself a little bit more time here. Or perhaps you may need a few weeks. You may need to just keep asking the question and live the question, as Rilke says. You can't rush systemic intelligence. It has its own speed. It arrives when it's ready. But perhaps you do have something that's formed. And perhaps that something is a value that you could orient around. Perhaps it's something you've already been orienting around. And this is an affirmation of that. It should move you in a deep place. It should feel like the right course of action. You should have a sense of affirmation from your body about what you received. If not, then keep waiting until you get something that does feel deeply right in some sense. I'm going to finish by reading a quote by Terence McKenna. And the quote goes, "Nature loves courage. You make the commitment, and nature will respond to that commitment by removing impossible obstacles. Dream the impossible dream, and the world will not grind you under. It will lift you up. This is the trick. This is what all these teachers and philosophers who really counted, who really touched alchemical gold, this is what they understood. This is the shamanic dance in the waterfall. This is how magic is done, by hurling yourself into the abyss and discovering it's a featherbed." And I leave you with that because I want us not to trample our intention with too much reality, too much practicality. It may need time to grow in a protected way and opening up this non-judgmental space where you set an intention is the start of that. That's already a courageous act. Courage comes from cur, the Latin for heart, and we're bringing heart into this process. That's what makes it rich. That's what gives us a good starting point. Since you're still here and listening, I'm going to read one more passage, which is by David White, and it's titled "Start Close In." Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing close in, the step you don't want to take. Start with the ground you know, the pale ground beneath your feet, your own way to begin the conversation. Start with your own question. Give up on other people's questions. Don't let them smother something simple. To hear another's voice, follow your own voice. Wait until that voice becomes an intimate, private ear that can really listen to another. Start right now. Take a small step you can call your own. Don't follow someone else's heroics. Be humble and focused. Start close in. Don't mistake that other for your own. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you don't want to take. I have nothing to add to that. So I'll leave you here, and I'm excited to go on this journey together. I'm grateful for you listening to this. I would love to have you on this journey, and we can help grow your snowball. And thank you. If you enjoyed this conversation and you want to become more involved, look for Snowball Psychology on Patreon, where you can join SoulPod, a live weekly group I host where for the cost of a gym membership, you can get support for your own snowball. Our music is Find Your Way Beat by Nana Kwabena.